Hello, grandkids, and welcome to Stunt Granny Audio 387. This is Kevin DeFrango. On the other end is Chris Calamita. How are you, sir?
I'm doing great, Kevin.
Feeling good after the short-term layoff?
Yeah. Everything's pretty good here. I had a very, very enjoyable holiday. Went and visited family and, you know, had a good time. And enjoy New Year's with friends, and I'm back in the swing of things.
Yeah, I guess today was the official swing of things, and I am back in the swing of things. I was constrained by time and duty to post the regular Monday Night Raw review, the almost live and definitely half-assed review of WWE Raw. Due to unforeseen circumstances. I did get to watch SmackDown in time, and I wrapped up Raw earlier tonight. All in all, only finished 10 minutes after SmackDown did, so I felt kind of good about my viewing. It was a little condensed, and it was kind of funny how Jeremy talked about how Raw was snooze and then main event. And I thought that SmackDown tonight, as per his becoming the norm, and even honestly pointed out as a storyline on both shows, that SmackDown is beating Raw in the ratings.
Yeah. They absolutely did. I mean, SmackDown presented a huge show. Raw didn't do any go out of their way to promote anything in particular last week. They're against the gigantic football game. So, it's probably not as impressive as it sounds, but, it might be the beginning of some momentum. And, you know, again, I mean, for show quality, it wasn't even close this week. I mean, SmackDown was an excellent show, I think.
They've done a great job, because, I mean, their main event is one of those things where, you could just even compare main events. And there was a clear, concise, understandable storyline going on with The Miz and Maryse versus Renee Young and Dean Ambrose. Like, it was easy to follow, it was logical, and it made everyone mad at each other. Like, as opposed to that convoluted, I'm not completely sure what was happening on Raw situation.
Right, yeah. Everything was very clear. Everyone played their roles well. Everyone's motivations, were clear and understandable. Yeah, it was a really good, show long storyline. Weave throughout the night with a happy climax, happy climactic conclusion. This was the best wrestling show of the year so far.
Let's not start sucking each other's dicks quite yet, as they said in Reservoir Dogs. just saying, it's a little early to be pointing that, even with a dose of sarcasm that I'm sure it was delivered with. What the hell? Yeah, I mean, I guess Ambrose winning the... I can't even remember. Oh, that's the Intercontinental title. Or am I wrong?
No, it's the Intercontinental title.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, Ambrose was the one who had kind of gotten the worst of it throughout the feud so far, honestly. So, I guess I wasn't too surprised by the outcome. He is certainly... you know, keeping it on someone high profile kind of situation. And it's really profiting off of a character The Miz has done great with recently, too.
Yeah. This is definitely the Intercontinental Championship is the highest it's been, profile it's been in a very, very, very long time. I can't even remember when it main event of the show. It felt like the main event of the show. You know, people reacted like an important title changed hands. They did, you know, very, very. You know, I liked the bit with the Maurice slap and the leading up to the and the referee go, you know attempting to call disqualification and then Ambrose actually stopping him and convincing the referee. Imagine this happening in any other sport. Any real sport to instead not call the disqualification, but to just send Maurice to the back, which of course, you know, once again creates the controversy that will, you know, lead towards a rematch. You know, Miz will have a valid complaint to levy to Daniel Bryan, and apparently that's going to be happening on Talking Smack and starting in a little while, which should make that must-see viewing. So yeah, I mean, everything about it was great. You know, once again, another match for The Miz that we described as very good. You know, he's everything. You know, Miz has been a great heel. You know, throughout the last half of 2016, now into 2017. You know, Miz has been, you know, a weekly highlight, and you know, this is and. Where am I going with this? Miz has found his niche. He's found his role. You know, and this is that the storyline with Ambrose it somewhat came out of nowhere, but it's been played really well. The addition of Renee Young. I mean, I guess it was inevitable. That they were going to bring their relationship to the forefront of the main shows, you know, the running up Total Divas, and they were going to play something off of it, and it played off really well.
There are a couple on Total Divas.
Yeah. She's a regular now.
Oh, okay. I haven't watched it in quite a while at this juncture. Like, it was cracking me up the last couple of nights. Just seeing Paige in the Total Divas previews, and it's just like, dear Lord, hasn't she been gone for longer than this?
No, they started this round of the season, like, right around WrestleMania time.
Oh, okay.
But she was around for a little while, but yeah, no. And they're definitely focusing the season a lot on her troubles, so who only knows, you know, what's real and what isn't when it comes to her, and I guess now that we've transitioned, I guess maybe we can talk a little bit about Alberto Del Rio fighting around the world.
you know what? I did not take the time. I saw that story and I'm like, oh, I'll have to read that. And then I will admit, I did not read that. So, you could probably give me the Cliff Notes edition while I go to find the actual story.
Apparently, Alberto and his brother, whose name I do not remember, were getting set to, at least getting set to perform in the country of Austria, and they got into a bar fight and beat the heck out of some guy, had to be hospitalized. A huge thing erupted that they were taken to jail. Then they started fighting each other in the jail. Then it took ten cops. Alberto, once again, the man is undefeated in his street fights / bar fights since leaving WWE. You know, beat up his brother. 10 cops had to break up the fight. They first tried to use some really, really weak zip ties that he broke.
Oh my god.
And I don't know exactly what happened with law enforcement and the government in Austria, but him and his brother were both allowed to leave and go and return to Mexico, and Alberto's back in the States. So,
I would have to say that is the type of thing that is not going to get you hired by the WWE anytime soon.
No. And I'm fairly certain he has. I don't think he has any designs on going back to WWE anytime soon. But yeah, these incidences are getting, you know, more and more frequent. There's definitely problems there.
Yeah. Can Alberto Del Rio be the next Matt Hardy? Does he need to go further down the hill before we really get him into, we should bag on him the level of we bagged on Matt Hardy level?
Well, Matt Hardy was more of just a weirdo, I would say, whereas Del Rio is coming up just incredibly dangerous to others. I mean, this guy is obviously something's really wrong here with this guy.
Well,
he's obviously dangerous.
I guess how many other fights has he had?
If you count Austria as two different fights in one night, I think it might be up to 5 incidents that he's been in the last, you know, 3 to 6 months or so.
Oh, yeah. See, count me as not paying that much attention. And that's a whole lot. Oh, I forgot about the one. I did remember. Wasn't there one involving Paige?
Yeah, well, that was... Okay, that was probably... Okay, it was not undefeated. Because there was the one where he was stabbed.
Yeah, I would definitely call getting stabbed, being defeated... definitely not winning. Clearly not winning.
Allegedly stabbed on the streets of San Antonio, but there were no other witnesses besides Paige. No police reports. No hospital reports. No nothing. So that whole thing was just a weird.
Yep.
A weird episode.
Yep. No other way to describe that one other than weird. Huh. Yeah, I mean, I don't know what to say. I mean, it's never good to see anything like that.
No,
you
it's
know,
not.
I would not imagine that that is all generated. Well, I mean, I guess I'm surprised. Like, I guess I didn't feel like in his first run with the WWE he had any problems, and I would imagine that he's pulling in some decent money on the indies now, and it's not that big a deal. I mean, the WWE misused him a second time.
Right, that's true. No, I'm not the biggest fan of his, but no. They did not do the best by him. But he does get, he's doing alright. He is a big enough name that there are still promoters who will, bring him in despite, the potential for trouble. But eventually, at some point, you know, something, you know, he's going to burn every bridge. He is the same as, like, a guy who does burn bridges.
Well, yeah, I mean, yeah, I guess I was never the biggest fan of his, so, I mean, it's not that big a loss, but, yeah, you just kind of hate to see a guy do that to his wife.
Yeah, no, exactly. I mean, that's not the thing. There's, you know, comparing to Matt Hardy years ago, there's nothing funny about this now. I mean, there, you know, there's obviously something wrong. There's obviously, both of their behavior has been incredibly erratic for, you know, the better part of the last year. I guess on this show we don't like to delve too far into wrestlers' personal lives or, you know, be that kind of a show, but yeah, this has been so public that you gotta say these two are toxic for each other.
Yeah, that was cracking me up because didn't Paige show off her engagement ring?
Yeah, that was earlier, yeah. Because she, remember, she did that the big grandstand proposal in a ring in Mexico.
Right. Yeah, I do remember that.
Or Puerto Rico, I think it was Puerto Rico, actually. It was Puerto Rico. But yeah, so now, but not, yes, I mean, yes, they think they're in love, and love makes you do crazy things.
Oh, man. Yes, yes, it does. Well, enough about those fools, honestly. Like, I think that's enough content to at least go back to the A product that is SmackDown. And I'm trying to think of some other... Well, I mean... Again, I think to show the development of the women on SmackDown as opposed to the ones on Raw, it's, you know, it's another one of those weeks where you can just point it out again how much better SmackDown's doing it. 'Cause, yeah, I mean... I on Raw, I still don't know that much about Bayley, other than that she's a bunch of positivity, and she was kind of friends with the boss.
Yeah. No, there really hasn't been a lot of. I mean, I still love Bayley, obviously from NXT, but maybe there isn't. I mean, she has a natural. A natural lovability about her, which I think does. I think translates, especially with kids and a younger audience. But yeah, I can see that there has not been a lot of real. I mean, they try to. They're obviously going somewhere.
Oh, yeah. And I do, we'll see where that leads, but, you know, she just, well, she'll have center stage now, and it does at least look like Raw will have a second women's story with Sasha Banks coming back with a knee brace on.
Definitely, go for more with Sasha Banks versus Nia Jax, which that's definitely an interesting, you know, clash of body types and styles and size differential. because I know they didn't cross paths in NXT, so yeah, that's definitely when it happens, a first time of a match. I mean, Bayley, you know, and Nia Jax had you know, multiple matches against each other in NXT. However, actually better than anything they've done on, they did on Raw this week. But no, but yeah, no, no, no. Sasha and Nia Jax is another animal. I got what they're doing. Once again, it's fine. I mean, you got to do something with these two while Charlotte Bailey takes center stage, as they said. And I mean, there's definitely a, if they play their cards right, they're, you know, there's definitely some great stuff, a great story you can tell with Charlotte Bailey. I don't necessarily think that, you know, he's the end of the world. I mean, you got to be careful how many times you meet somebody. But with Bailey, you can delay the chase, without a doubt.
Oh.
Especially since you've already had Charlotte lose the title 3 times since July.
Yeah, and they'll have to come up with, and they don't seem shy about using them either, some type of screwball finish that benefits the babyface to get... you know, several shots at the title.
Right.
yeah, I mean, that would be a good thing. Like, I mean, she does have that underdog gimmick going for her, you know, despite the fact that, I mean, she is a pretty big woman.
Compared to Sasha Banks, everyone is. Except maybe Alexa Bliss, but...
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, and I guess Becky's a little bit on the... I guess she might kind of be middle of the pack or so, size-wise. But, I mean, Bailey and Charlotte are definitely closer in size than... than Banks, Sasha Banks and Charlotte was. What did that have to do with the price of tea in China? Well, I don't know why. We were kind of talking about the size differential, and I was just talking about... because we started with Bailey being, you know, the natural charisma and everything. In the possibility of a good storyline happening there, and I mean they do have time to tell a longer story, and if they want this to finish at WrestleMania, I mean Charlotte really has kind of started to talk up the pay per view thing, and there isn't a bigger pay per view to lose at than WrestleMania.
Right, exactly. So yeah, I mean they could go with it, the Royal Rumble, but you know I don't think they will, and I actually don't think they should. And yeah, there's a lot you can do here. There's things about Bailey's character that do need to be more fleshed out so that the broader audience understands who she is, where she comes from. I mean, she gets great reactions in, you know, quote unquote, you know, traditional smarter cities, or, you know, with a lot of, you know, that are going to be more NXT viewers per capita, but, you know, you can tell sometimes when they're in the South, sometimes when they're in the Midwest, it's not as, you know, the reactions to Bailey aren't as pronounced. So, yeah, you know, there's definitely more work to be done. I mean, she's obviously, you know, on a smaller scale in NXT, obviously proven that she can be something really special, so it's better to take your time with it.
Yeah. And I guess that's the other thing that should be said. Like, I do really think Bailey has a lot of potential. So, you know, yeah, it's fine to give her a little more time to... get her feet under her in the WWE... you know, that's still just kind of the beginning. I really like the continuation, really, of both of the women's storylines on SmackDown this week. The double La Lucha Dore.
That was really good. That was out of old school wrestling. They look great there. I like that a lot. I like the element of, at first it's like, maybe Becky and the first La Luchadora weren't exactly having all that good of a match, because La Luchadora has to. Do you ever see the Starrcade where Ric Flair had to dress up like the Black Scorpion to fight Russell Sting?
Yes.
He was out there. He had to not do anything that Ric Flair would do for the vast majority of that match to tell that story. And it was probably the worst. It was easily the worst match anybody ever had. So whoever's under that mask can't wrestle like themselves.
Right.
Or if it's even that's the mask is the person that eventually is going to be revealed. It might be someone who's not even in the company yet, or, I know Mickie James has been mentioned. She's, waiting to get the all clear on her medicals, and I think they said that, for her to come back full time. It might be someone on NXT or what have you. So yeah, it was once again they weren't necessarily having a good match, but the second she rolled on, she rolled out, and rolled out of the ring. Yeah, I got what was happening. Right? If you've been watching this long enough, it's been done before.
Even though it's been done before, it can be effective.
And in the midst of all of it, Becky gets another non-title win over Alexa Bliss in a very creative fashion. So obviously we're continuing on with that. Obviously we're also still waiting for the real La Luchadora reveal, and while also keeping Becky and Alexa going. Yeah, I really like that.
Yeah, it was a really effective move. She could. Well, I don't know if she'll have a lackey, which is a possibility. Alexa Bliss, if she's got a recruit, or if it's just a one-time help out for, introducing the character, and then they kind of go their own way.
This appears to be, an alliance now. I mean, otherwise they probably would have just, transitioned, Becky Lynch away from Alexa Bliss. But no, that's not where this is going. This is obviously, there was question last week as to whether or not, Alexa Bliss knew what was going on with the whole La Luchadora interference. And obviously now this week, it was all
it's confirmed. It definitely was. So, that was a good story. And the bitchiness continues on SmackDown with Nikki Bella giving Natalya a browbeating for sullying the Heart name.
That was pretty good. Natalya had some pretty good lines to come back. Getting the John Cena button hard. And, the you're gonna die alone line was pretty good.
That's pretty hard. Followed
up by the strong style Nikki forearm, which did look really cool. So yeah, no, I like that. It's fine. Give them something to do. And I was actually when I saw that they were using Aaliyah from NXT in a role on SmackDown. Especially against Carmella, who's green, pretty green herself, I kind of gasped a little bit. Like, oh, jeez. But I thought their match was fine. Aaliyah actually looked better on SmackDown than she has in most of her NXT matches.
As mentioned, I haven't really watched that much of NXT. So, I was not that familiar with Aaliyah. But yeah, the match really wasn't that bad. I mean, it kind of was what it was. Like, I wasn't expecting a five-star classic.
No. I was expecting kind of a train wreck, and it really wasn't. And I guess this whole Carmella James Ellsworth thing is fun. It's played up for pure comedy.
Yeah, and I mean, it's there's enough intrigue in it, because even the way she was reacting backstage to him now, like, you know, there's some type of plan behind it, because she was still a little surprised, I guess, by him or her fawning over him.
Yeah, I really don't know. I mean, what from a character's perspective, I don't really know what Carmella is thinking that she can get out of James Ellsworth. But yeah, it's fine. Once again, it's just, you know, they're playing it for laughs and, you know, keeping James Ellsworth around. Although it's the broom's a little off the rose there, but it was time to get him up the main events. There's a place for stuff like this. Yeah. So, you know, that was fine. I guess we'll save Steven Styles stuff for last. You know, before that hit, I felt the very, very ineffective heel turn, if you can call that, of Dolph Ziggler. It was a pretty rough piece of business to me. I mean, I made the comparison. On Twitter, I made the comparison. What if Hulk Hogan made his major turn by dropping the leg on Psychosis? I mean, or Brad Armstrong. You know, it's like, you turned on Kalisto.
Yeah, he is, they definitely could have picked on someone more than Kalisto, but Kalisto did fit the storyline, at least with Baron Corbin. In the whole chair situation. But, again, it kind of goes back to it. Well, a couple of things made me laugh. Is that, A, after he super kicks Kalisto, most of the crowd starts cheering. Which means the turn didn't quite work, really.
Yeah, no. But, you know, people have been waiting for, you know, Dolph to quote-unquote snap for a while now. And, you know, it happened, but then, you know, you do it on Kalisto, and then you get into a backstage brawl with Apollo Crews, who's even lower on the totem pole than Kalisto, and he turned heel, and he's further down the... He's further down the card now. That's not the way it's supposed to work. And then the part I really I didn't really like was, you know, when they go back to the announcers and they say, I don't know, when JBL has to make the line, I don't know what's more disturbing, Dolph Ziggler or Carmella and James Ellsworth. So just literally turning the whole thing into a joke.
Yeah, I did kind of laugh, and I'm like, aren't you kind of canceling that out now?
Yeah, you're not taking this anything the least bit seriously. You know, just, Dolph is no threat to anything important.
Yeah, and I mean, I don't think him going heel is going to solve anything either. Like, he just... you know, it kind of is what it is, or he is what he is at this point, you know. He's just hanging in there for the paycheck, and he's always going to have something of a spot, because he wrestles his ass off all the time. But outside of that, like, there's just nothing to cheer for him about. I guess I'd be pretty surprised if that happened, even with the heel turn.
You're right.
So, now that we got that ugliness out of the way, I mean, I guess that was something bad about SmackDown.
It was definitely the thing I liked least about SmackDown. Although there's a little bit of that whole thing that little bit of bad that drips into what we're about to talk about, but at least not till the end. But, you know, AJ Styles and John Cena just absolutely knocked it out of the park. I mean, what a great exchange there.
I mean, AJ Styles continues to prove why he's where he is, honestly. Him and Cena are, you know, I guess it always helps Cena to me when his opponent is that kind of serious. And, you know, it makes him, it makes him go in that direction. You know, when Cena has the time or isn't, maybe it is the fact that, AJ Styles is okay meeting him face to face. Like, you know, when it's like that long distance rock promo thing, like, he's okay with throwing in a poop joke. But when the guy that's throwing the verbal jabs at you is 3-0 on you, you know, it's kind of hard to throw down a poop joke at that moment. You know, there's a different dynamic between him and Styles that I guess I think lends itself for him to be more serious. And that's always good for his promos. Always.
Always. Serious scene is always better, is always usually on point, you know, great. And AJ Styles, you know, really brought that out of him. AJ had, you know, great material, great delivery. The line about, you know, the money line about, you'll never be as great in Hollywood as The Rock, and you'll never be as great in the ring as AJ Styles. That was the money line. That was great. That was perfect. He's been saying back in his face. John Cena, you know, firing back up. With everything he said, and you know, throwing in some cursors, some curse words, and. It was all just really, really good.
And I mean, it did help to hype that match for the Royal Rumble. That was the Rumble, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So, you know, that's a... Oh, yeah, because they have... Now I'm going over to Raw. I'm like, oh, that's right. I guess it's Roman Reigns versus Kevin Owens. Like that. I had to think about it because there were so many people involved in the main event of Raw, and Kevin Owens. I kind of forgot which member of the Shield he was taking on it at the Royal Rumble. You know, I guess to go back to the comparison, like, the waters got muddied entirely too much on Raw just because the WWE really wanted to have a stare-off between Roman Reigns and Bill Goldberg.
I didn't mind it. In fact, I liked the last segment on Raw. I think that, you know, SmackDown's still, you know, setting up, you know, the Royal Rumble, whereas Raw is getting moving more into, all right, Royal Rumble is the bridge to WrestleMania. So here are the number of possible potential main events for WrestleMania you could see. Bowens versus Jericho, to Goldberg versus Owens, to Reigns versus Goldberg, to Lesnar versus everyone, to Braun Strowman versus, you know, Roman Reigns versus Goldberg. Yeah, no, I like it. I thought it was really good. Well played.
I didn't have a problem with the segment itself. It's just that who Kevin Owens was taking on at the Royal Rumble, it made me lose sight of that a little bit, just because of all of the... It's good to throw out all of those potentials. You know, Goldberg-Reigns match, like, they're already kind of doing a sniff test if they do something like that. You know, to see if it's worth it. I mean, it's always interesting, I guess, because you know that that'll probably have implications in a later juncture.
Yeah, I mean, I just feel like you're still at the point where, you know, as penciled in as anything could be for WrestleMania is certainly Goldberg versus Lesnar. What if Goldberg's going to stick around for another, you know, make sporadic appearances throughout the year to, you know, WrestleMania 34? Goldberg versus Cena, Goldberg versus Reigns, maybe Goldberg versus Undertaker. I mean, all these matches could happen.
Yes, they could. And, I'm okay with the setup and how everything was executed in the main event, but like I said, it just kind of muddies the water a little bit to me, but there's still plenty of time until the Royal Rumble, so it's not that much of a problem.
Right, no. They just had all these elements in place. Next week, they bring Undertaker's back into things. I imagine he'll announce he's entering the Royal Rumble. Shawn Michaels, I don't think he's... I'm fairly certain he's not entering the Royal Rumble, even though it is in his hometown. He seemed pretty committed to his promise to never wrestle again. But he'll be involved in something, I'm sure. It's in his hometown.
Michaels always gets involved in some manner or another, whether it's a dumb DX skit again or something involving him being a referee and or some other pageant type position. And it is January already. Man, it's a rough one. It's Stunt Granny HQ. I'm already forgetting it's the new year, and we have is that the 29th that the Royal Rumble is?
Yep, yeah, it's the 29th.
So, we'll have to get the man that is going to the Royal Rumble on here before the Royal Rumble actually occurs. I guess it really is time to start throwing out the possibilities. You know, the Royal Rumble, as they always say, it's the... it starts the road to WrestleMania, and it's not surprising that all of the pieces are going to get put out into play at this juncture of the WWE calendar. Come January, everyone's got to show up. I'm glad you had a good Christmas. Let's get to work. So, yeah, I mean, that there are a lot of possibilities out there for Michaels and for The Undertaker. Because isn't The Undertaker actually, didn't they mention that he's coming to Raw? Or did I mishear that?
Yeah, he'll be on Raw. Be on Raw next week. They're trying, I guess they're trying to stave off the potential record low against the college championship game by bringing back Michaels and Undertaker on the same show.
Well, yeah, they're probably going to be shit out of luck anyway.
Right. I mean, I don't care about the game, but apparently some people in this country do.
Well, you know, and that was kind of funny. I mean, I guess that's the other thing about Raw is that, there are occasional times where I don't have any real allegiance, to either team that, that was in the Rose Bowl this past, year. My wife is a Penn State fan, so, I mean, there is that. But that game was just way too exciting to shut off. Like, I wouldn't have thought about it if I would have had the time to start the column. I wouldn't even thought about starting until after that. that was so much fun. I'm not saying that this coming Monday is going to be that that entertaining, but you know, I guess the possibility is always there. And you know, Raw gets taped. I mean, I guess I still wonder how much the DVR market is undersold, because isn't there there's usually an amount of time that you've got to watch the shows in, or else the DVR won't market as red for ratings purposes.
I think it's like 3 days, I believe.
Yeah, so you know, there are certainly things that I watch that I do a disservice to.
Are you a Nielsen fan? Are you a Nielsen also?
No.
Well, then your viewing doesn't matter.
Yeah. Well, whatever. Why are we talking about the? Well, I mean, I guess they were talking about the ratings all week on Raw and SmackDown. So, I mean, I guess it'll be interesting. Like, the game could hurt it some, but again, they'll probably get the viewers that they're gonna get, I guess. You know, there's only so much you can do to combat, especially special events like that. So, yeah. Was there anything else on... Is there anything else on Raw that was worth talking about? Is Braun Strowman worth talking about? I mean, he was in that main event mix. And his name hasn't been spoken yet tonight.
I used his name. I said his name once. Braun Strowman is absolutely... They got something here. It's definitely... And they definitely got more out of him than ever. I mean, I just give Sami Zayn, you know, all the credit in the world for the match he had with Braun Strowman. He made made the guy look like a monster world beater, and which was his job, and he did it well. And, you know, Strowman is definitely being positioned for something pretty big. Not sure exactly what it is, but he's in the upper echelon of people who have a chance to actually win this thing on the 29th.
Yeah, I mean, that is a real possibility. I mean, I don't know why they to me, they wouldn't have brought him out there if he weren't a real possibility. I mean, I see Goldberg and Brock Lesnar canceling themselves out in some manner or another, thus getting both of them out of the title picture so that they can have, because I do feel like more times than not they have the full-timers involved in the title picture still. Not that Lesnar didn't have a reign.
Right.
But on the whole, they've gone with the full-time guys for the title. So, yeah, I mean, Strowman is certainly a guy that they've started to build him up. Like you said, that match was probably, I think it's the best match on Raw, I think. Would be a pretty easy way to put that one, honestly.
Yeah, it was that match on Raw. Yeah. At this point, I can barely pay attention to, matches between, any combination of Reigns, Rollins, Owens, and Jericho anymore. I'm just tired of it. I know we're gonna get them at least one more between. There's still three Raws between now and Raw. And Chris Jericho keeps. I mean, if they are going to go with, Jericho and Owens for the title at WrestleMania, I don't think they are, but if they are, please just stop beating the guy every week to the same two people for the last 3 months. He's got nothing. I don't know if Jericho's won a match since. I think he beat Sami Zayn at the end in September. I don't know if he's won a match since. Of any note.
It's kind of funny. I remember, honestly, at the beginning of this move to him being a super heel is that he kept on losing as the good guy. And it's kind of funny how it's not really brought up as a problem until now for him as a good guy or as a heel.
I mean, it's not a problem. They've been telling a story for a while now with Owens and Jericho. It's just, my thing is, and I don't think it will be, but if they're going to keep the title on Kevin Owens, and I'm pretty sure that, title or no title, Owens versus Jericho is probably going to happen most. They're finally going to have their big moment, between now and then. But if the title's at stake with... It's just not going to feel right. It's just not going to feel like a main event, like a championship match, with how much Jericho's been losing. So I hope that that's not the direction. I don't believe that Chris Jericho can pull off, one big win and have it erase all these months of losses to be taken seriously as a title contender at this point.
He's kind of in... Dolph Ziggler territory, except he's way more entertaining on the mic.
Oh yeah, I mean, he's incredibly entertaining. I mean, so he's always, in the sense he does always get his heat back, and his, not even heat, he's mostly getting cheers, but
right.
but people are cheering and laughing and entertained by the shtick. And it, I mean, technically, his match quality, his match talent quality, his match quality output is still better than most. But you get to a point where you just beat a guy too many damn times, and they've more than reached that. I mean, I don't know what they're doing with Roman Reigns and the U.S. title, you know, long term.
Oh,
there was no reason for Jericho to have to win that title. If it's barely a prop of not even over his shoulder, being basically dragged to the ring by Roman Reigns.
it cracked me up, honestly, that he didn't even bring it out for the main event
segment.
Yeah, I didn't
even notice. That's how little right.
I did not have a problem with him trying to be a cool kid and slinging it over his shoulder. I mean, I did think it was weird that the WWE would allow such a thing to happen with one of their title belts, which is, something altogether different, in my opinion. Yeah, not wearing it at all. I'm like, oh man, that is pretty rough, man.
Yeah, that there was, because I can still, buy Jericho as the United States champion, having that be the centerpiece of a Jericho Owens match at WrestleMania. But, at some point, Reigns has to lose that damn thing. If he's gonna take the title at the end of the Royal Rumble, you'd think it would be before, on some screw job that Owens causes, but maybe not. Maybe he'll be a double champion. Maybe he'll be a dual champion. Maybe he'll give up the U.S. title and just have him give it up and put it up on another tournament, or...
That's how the WWE...
Maybe just doesn't win the English... What?
That's how the WWE is going to trigger the heel turn. They're going to give him both titles so that everyone hates him even more. Oh, man. Is there anything else to say about the Raw title picture there? Anything else to say about Raw in its whole state? Nothing.
Nothing really. I got nothing. I don't think the tag team scene is worth talking about right now. I don't think the crew. Well, I guess let me. Okay, you want? We'll go a little bit. We'll look at this with a little bit. The New Day was so dominant as a tag team champions. It beat everybody multiple times, and there was no team they beat more than Gallows and Anderson. So there's a disconnect with Gallows and Anderson. Just because the titles have changed as a new team, they get to be the top contenders again.
I think I mentioned this in last week's column. I'm starting to feel bad for Corey Graves. I know it's his job as the heel announcer to hype the heel team, but, trying to hype what Gallows and Anderson did in Japan now. It's the exact opposite of what's happening with AJ Styles. Like, this is what everyone thought was happening to AJ Styles after he lost to Chris Jericho at WrestleMania. But this is what is actually happening to Gallows and Anderson now.
Yeah, but it's still all they have to hang their hat on. They've accomplished nothing here.
And there's no good way to accomplish much. I mean,
You only have one set of tag team champions to go after, and they failed many, many times. I mean, what can you say about it? So, yeah, I see, even though, you know, Cesaro's performing at a high level, Sheamus is, you know, finding his role, I see tough times for the tag team division.
Because the New Day just rolled over everyone so much. I'm glad you brought that up. That was something that I did want to complain about. It was driving me bananas that Sheamus was on there acting like him and Cesaro are buddy-buddy. And I'm like, they were a functional team for like 2 weeks after the bar brawl. But then they got to this, oh, we're going to make sure we cheer the one guy and boo the other guy. And I don't know why his commentary was back to we're chummy when their antics are always like the odd couple coming down to the ring. That really drove me bananas. Like, I guess I want a consistent story out of them, and that's, kind of a hallmark of Raw, just not a consistent story. And nothing that you can really, like, get behind. Like, you still don't really want to get behind Sheamus as part of that team. And a lot of people don't. You know? And if they're going to play up the odd couple angle, they should play it up instead of kind of hiding it in the we're buddy-buddy talk.
Right. I get you.
Oh, okie dokie. Well, I guess with that with that mini rant, we can wrap things up. I will do the usuals, at DeFrango11, at Chris Calamita. Brand is at Stunt Granny. Please rate and review us on iTunes or SoundCloud. That would help us out greatly. Thank you very much. And, everyone have a good night.
Later.